This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, and good morning to you. I always say about October, one of the things that I like about the month is that it is kind of a kettle pot that is brewing with sports importance. When you talk about college football and the NFL, and of course we're getting into baseball postseason. Yeah, the NBA and the NHL get underway and it sort of officially starts, but what you're starting to see as the month turns, and we turn the calendar into this month, is everything sort of percolating. We got the last weekend of the Major League Baseball season that came down to the wire, the Yankees needing a RBI from Aaron Judge to make the postseason. And on Tuesday night, they got this one-game battle with Boston, and the winner gets Tampa Bay. And the St. Louis Cardinals will head to Los Angeles to meet the Dodgers. The Dodgers, who won, what, 104 games, five games or whatever, they have to play one game with the Cardinals in order to play San Francisco in the NLDS. But the NFL and the in college football are doing this too. Now look, college football extend, you know, NFL extending the season to 17 games maybe has muddled some of the level of importance of week 4, week 5, week 6. But college football is heading into a turning point where now we really start to start paying attention to where this thing is actually going. And nothing better than Cincinnati going and beating Notre Dame to put this non-Power 5 team from the AAC in a position to make the college football playoff. When you couple that with Oregon losing and you've got a little bit of sort of energy that is coming from this Cincinnati team that is going to make it difficult for the playoff committee to ignore if they are one of four unbeaten teams left in college football. Now, if Alabama goes unbeaten, beating Georgia in the SEC finals, and that's only one loss for Georgia, those two will get in. Will the committee really give Cincinnati, a non-Power 5 team, a spot in a four-team playoff if Alabama and Georgia were to be secure two spots in this? They need something to happen to Oklahoma. They're going to need something to happen to Penn State or Iowa. They're going to have something else happen. They're going to need some help. But they're making it difficult for that normal, what the committee does is go, oh, you're 12. Now work your way up. Good win by the Bearcats, but this is about the time in October where we start really analyzing the importance of these things. Coming up, the good, the bad, and the dumb, and then more from week 4 of the NFL, the other games that were important over the weekend.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Good, the bad, the dumb. The Monday edition as we get back from a nice weekend. What is the good of the day?
All right, the good of the day might be a bit of a stretch, but I'm enjoying this.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've heard the news, but there were a couple of zebras in Maryland that escaped their zoo.
Did they really?
Or escaped their pen or wild animal park. I'm not sure what they actually were in. So presently, there's still five zebras just cruising through Maryland.
Just walking around?
Just living their best life. Just out there, you know, eating like regular horses. It's got to be a fun sight to see, right? You're just driving along. Like, there's been videos. It's almost like watching, finding videos of Bigfoot at this point.
Zebras are my favorite animal. You know when you're a kid and you have a favorite animal?
Yeah.
Zebras were my favorite animals. Yeah, I don't know why. I like zebras.
It's been 1 month, over a month now. They escaped from a farm in Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
Ah, ha, ha.
And five zebras are still roaming free.
Well, we know this. They can't hide amongst the people. If you see a zebra, chances are it's that zebra.
Yeah.
So
I guess there's been multiple attempts to wrangle them, but no one really knows how to catch a zebra.
Why wouldn't it be just like catching a donkey or a horse?
I don't know. Maybe like release a couple of lions.
Lasso? Yeah, release a couple of lions. That's good.
They seem to know how to do it.
They have no problems doing it.
I don't know why. I mean, it's probably not a great situation. It's probably dangerous for the zebras, but I mean, at the same time, I don't see where they're harmful.
Yeah, again, I when I was a kid, I liked zebras, but I never did research on them. I don't know what they do or, you know, do they Is their kick deadly or something? I don't know.
Not any more deadlier than a horse.
Are they poisoned in their stripes? I have no idea.
I just find it awesome that if you're just cruising down a freeway or backcountry road or something, you could see a zebra just crossing the road.
That's pretty sweet.
Just, you know, living its best life.
That's awesome. Just chilling. Well, you know, one day we'll go back, but right now let's just enjoy life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
There's been plans to try to tranquilize them, but they can't get to them.
All right.
I don't know why. I guess maybe it's camouflage.
Wow.
You got to do it during the daytime. You can't do it at night.
Right. Good old zebras. That's awesome. Well, that's a good story.
Yeah. It's kind of fun.
Well, let's keep up with that one.
If you're in Maryland, take a look. It should be interesting.
All right. What's the bad of the day?
Urban Meyer.
Yeah. This one really was pretty bad.
So if you didn't catch the video, Urban Meyer had himself a good time the other night. I'm not sure if it was, I think it might have been Saturday night. Because the video, or maybe Friday night, I'm not really sure the first time I saw the video, but all you need to know is that there was a young college co-ed, I'm going to believe, like somewhere in her 20s, just grinding all over Urban Meyer. And where the bad comes in is twofold. One, his wife started liking all the different posts calling Urban Meyer out.
So she was really interested in the social media angle that her husband was doing something he shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, there was a harmless photo of him posing with a bunch of other people. I guess he was out for a friend's birthday or something like that, rocking a pink Ohio State pullover. And she had tweeted out, "Meanwhile, I'm babysitting," and it's just her with three kids, I think, or two kids. I don't know. I can't remember how many kids they have. You know, toys everywhere, and she's doing the best job she can to keep order amongst the chaos. And then, but then she started liking all the other posts as well, where, you know, there's a video of a young woman grinding on Urban Meyer, who he doesn't really seem to be pushing her away at all. And then, there's another photo of where I'm going to assume maybe the same girl, maybe it's a different girl. Like, why does this guy keep flirting with me? Who is this guy?
Yeah, that one was the one I was. Look, if you're 56 years old, is that how? Yeah, 56 years old, and you're at a party with co-eds, maybe your wife goes, "Oh, you know what? Have fun, old man.
Yeah.
You know, enjoy the." But if you got somebody saying that he's flirting, then you might go, okay, it's not like he's 86 where it's just, you know, oh, look at the old guy flirting with the cute little girls. Like 56-year-old guys, you know, that's still a young enough age where you better be careful if you're a married guy.
Well, and the thing, I don't know if you saw the video either at all, but the video, I mean, this woman is literally, I mean, he's sitting on a bar stool. She is just all backed up into him. And, you know, the video itself is like a good 5, 6, 7 seconds. And he is making no effort to say, I'm married. Push you away. Get away.
He
is just sitting there just like living my best life. This is great.
He's 0-4.
Yeah.
Well, that was back in Ohio where they love him.
That was the other comment as well, was that he's 0-4 and everyone is pointing out that he doesn't seem to be taking it too hard.
No, he doesn't seem to be. Yeah. He doesn't seem to be buried. What happened to no days off, get back to work? Isn't he from that Belichick kind of tree? Isn't he?
Thought so. Maybe
get
not.
Get back to Jacksonville, and, you know, while the players can have some time off before they get back to work, I and my crew are going to get back to the grindstone Friday morning after this loss to Cincinnati.
So,
what is he still doing chilling out in Ohio?
My question to you, Tony, is this. What's the phone call you're going to hit decline to first, or quickest, I should say? The one from the wife? Or the one from Tim Tebow?
Yeah, a good one, right? Does Tim Tebow even address it? Like, coach, just wanted to call, tell you. Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, people are going to ask him about it.
That's true.
I mean, he's like a routine guest appearancer with Stephen A. Smith on First Take. Now, Stephen A. Smith will bring it up.
Of course he will.
You don't care.
Tim, I saw your coach. Yeah. I can't wait for that. Go, Stephen A.
Bring it up. We want to know.
You know, I don't know what to make of this, because there's a part of me that's like, it's none of my business between him and Shelly.
Right.
At the same time, I'm kind of curious as to what's going on in his head right now.
Well, that, but are you also looking at this as like, oh, maybe this is his out clause?
Yeah, that might
There's
be
a
true.
Little bit of controversy happening around him now, and, you know, is this like, well, you know, I need to concentrate.
Oh, I don't get to quit. I get to do something that causes the ire of the owner.
Yeah.
And then I can go take that USC job.
Or, you know, or is it, you know, I need to quit because I need to work on my family.
Oh, good point.
You know.
Good point. Only to take the USC
only
job.
Only to take the USC job.
Because USC won't care about this nonsense.
Oh, no. Isn't OJ's Heisman still in the trophy room?
Yeah, it might be, yeah. Goodness. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
I hate to do this to you, Tony.
Yeah.
South Carolina and Troy produced one of the wackiest and dumbest plays you will ever see.
I know.
So I'll play the clip for you, and then I will explain what just happened.
All right.
He's in trouble, and he loses the football. Jalen Foster created it. It's picked up off the carom, and now it's dropped again. But no, they'll say it's whistled down. They're going to let the play continue. Jamar Brown goes into the end zone, but one official.
So it actually wasn't whistled down.
No, it was not.
So what happened was Troy quarterback Taylor Powell sacked by South Carolina's Jalen Foster. So then there's a fumble. It's picked up by another South Carolina player. I don't know who it is, who ran maybe 4 or 5 yards before fumbling it himself. And that ball is picked up by Jalen Brown, who is sprinting for the end zone.
Right.
Touchdown, South Carolina! Except for the fact that he tossed the ball away just before he crossed the goal line.
I know. Why do people do this? Why are you doing this? Like, I've seen this happen too many times.
Too many times.
The first time it has ever happened should have been the last time it ever happened.
Yeah.
The first time it happened where you, if you're a football player and you see that on ESPN, online, Twitter, TikTok, wherever you get your videos, you go, that is never happening to me. That level of embarrassment and humiliation is never going to happen to me. And yet, people still do this.
All the time.
All the time. I don't know why. Why aren't you making sure that you're in the end zone with the ball and then hand it to the referee or do whatever it is once you see the touchdown hands in the air?
How about you just look down? If the grass is no longer green, you're probably in the end
right,
zone.
Right, you're in the end zone.
Unless you're in Boise State, then you're, you know, all bets are off.
I'm telling you, if I'm a coach, I'd be like, kid, good luck wherever you're going, but you're not playing here anymore. Like, I'm sorry. I don't mind if you throw a pick. I don't mind if you fumble. I can overcome some legitimate mistakes. But that's such a bonehead, dumb thing to do. I cannot have it here on my staff.
Yep.
What other bonehead things do you do? Do you take a bath with a toaster? Like, what other things do you do in your life that are just plain stupid? Right? Go pet a skunk? Like, what else do you do? Throw the ball away before you get across the goal line. It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I mean, it needs to stop.
It really, really needs to stop.
I mean, it's such an easy fix for the coach. You know, any coach should go, listen, you don't toss that ball until you're 5 yards, 10 yards into the end zone.
Yeah.
Toss it when you're, you know, getting ready to cheer for, you know, cheer with the fan, the home crowd.
You know when they do those car commercials where, like, this guy is sitting at his house and they're like, hey, do you know that Lowe's is having a 50% off sale? And the guy gets in his car and he's racing through the streets and he's jumping over a canyon and he's getting to the hardware store. But they have to put down at the bottom, do not attempt, stunt driver.
Yeah.
When you're doing that, you're like, I shouldn't have to say this, but I guess I have to say this. If you're a coach, is that what you have to do? Will you show the video and go, guys, this should never be said in any locker room, meaning ever, ever, ever. But here's a bonehead play where so-and-so didn't cross the goal line with the ball. Just to reiterate, please make sure if you're ever going to cross into the end zone, please make sure you're in the end zone before you do anything stupid with the football. I can't believe I wasted 5 minutes explaining this to you. Isn't that like a baseball manager going, when you hit a home run, could you just please make sure you hit every single base on your trot?
Exactly, right?
Right.
Yeah, you know, there's no reason for there to be question whether did he touch second.
Right.
Well, you know, grab the ball, go throw it to second.
Just
you know, step on the bag.
Cross every bag.
Run into the dugout. Tag the player. See what happens.
Ugh. So, it's disgusting.
Yep. So no touchdown for South Carolina.
All right. Good, the bad, and the dumb. That is it for the Monday. When we come back, more from the NFL. And, again, we'll take a look at this college games from the weekend because, man, goodness, it's starting to shape up a little bit, just a little bit, as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door, free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Real quick, I just rewatched that South Carolina player. And the fun part of it is when he holds his hands up on the sidelines until the officials come out and say that it wasn't a touchdown. And the look on his face is priceless. I mean, it's awful. Don't do it, kids. Cross the goal line. Cross the goal line. But again, how many times do we have to see people do that before we go cut it out?
At least a couple times a year, it seems like.
It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. And I don't know what I know you're excited about scoring a touchdown, but make sure you score a touchdown. So that flip.
Why can't it be something like this? Like, you know, you tell your kids every once in a while, it's like, you know what, act like you've been there before.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
You know, but if you want to do like a backflip, I have no problems with that. If you want to, you know, do the centipede across the end zone, go for it.
I just hope
you cross the goal line.
Yeah, I just hope I don't want him to be ruined by it, but I hope he's haunted by it for like a week or so, or 2 or 3 weeks, where he's like, oh my God. So he never happens again.
Yeah.
So he never lets it happen again. All right. Speaking of college football, man, I'll tell you right now, I have no idea who the number one team in the country should be.
No.
I have no idea. I loved what Alabama did to Ole Miss. They shut them out in the first half. They looked great. I thought that game would be better than it actually was. But what Georgia did to Arkansas, now Georgia is frighteningly scary. And they are really scary,
yep,
what they're doing on defense. That may be one of the best defensive teams I've seen in a long time in the SEC. And I've seen good defensive teams in the SEC. Alabama has great defenses. This defense is phenomenal. That Arkansas team is not a fluky team that got 4-0 and, my God, didn't belong on the same field. No, that Arkansas team is good. And that Arkansas team couldn't do a thing against Georgia. A thing. I am really impressed with what Kirby Smart's been putting together down there in Athens. And this might go against my normal Georgia rule, which says wait for them to lose a game they should win. They might not lose the rest of the season. Wait, they might win all the way through and play Alabama in the SEC championship game. I think they're going to play in the SEC championship game anyway, thanks to Kentucky beating Florida. And I don't think Georgia will lose to Kentucky. By the way, I ended up watching that game on Saturday. Because you
Kentucky,
know,
Florida.
Yeah, my brother went to Kentucky. My son now goes to Florida. We were all in on it. I said to my wife, I said, for the first time since the day we met, I'm disappointed in the Florida Gators for losing a football game. Like, I was really like, you got to be kidding me. How do you lose? Like, I've been pumping them up, telling people they deserve to be ranked higher.
Yeah.
Can't use their timeouts properly, and they lose.
You and I even sat there and was like, man, there could be a strange scenario.
Yeah.
Unlikely, but a strange scenario where there's like three teams from the SEC.
Don't have to worry about that anymore.
Nope.
All done with that scenario. Wrap that up in a bow. But that Georgia team is scary good. Scary good. And I said earlier, I don't know how this is going to shape out with Cincinnati. Beating Notre Dame is a good win. Now, Notre Dame's not great. Don't get me wrong. This is not a great Notre Dame team, but it's a win enough for Cincinnati. The problem is the rest of the way, they don't really have anybody on their schedule that you need. Like, they don't have any other ranked teams.
What do you mean, Tony? I thought they were the Big 12 powerhouse, Cincinnati.
Right. Yeah, right? Wait till they get there.
Then it becomes an easier conversation to have. But, that was a great win by them. I mean, can we put them in the same class as, like, how we used to think of Clemson?
Yeah, no. But can we give them the same level of respect that we used to give, like, UCF and Boise State, but better?
Yeah.
Right. Before, we used to take those teams and go, you're still not quite up there, but this is a good team. Like right now, the AP, and again, I get it, the AP and the coaches poll are irrelevant. They are no bearing to the conversation, but they're supposed to give you a little bit of a guide to where it is. You know, it's like if you go to a theme park, you can get the official map, but then your buddy can draw on a napkin where all the good roller coasters are, right? You still have a good little map that's on a napkin, but if you want the official map, you got to go to the park and get the official map. The committee is where it's at. These two are just supposed to give the public a kind of an idea of what some people are thinking about it. So Cincinnati in the AP poll is ranked fifth. Cincinnati in the coaches poll is ranked sixth. Now, what has happened in the past whenever we've had teams like Boise State or Central Florida, playing well, well, maybe not Boise State as much, but like Central Florida particularly, when the committee would get a hold of them, they would shove them down to like 10th. And then you'd go, ooh, that's low. And then there's no way for them to fight their way to the top. If the committee were to come out today, if the committee met today and came out with a Cincinnati that's fifth, then they're going to the playoff. Because eventually Penn State and Iowa State is going to cough up a game, either against each other or something. And if Cincinnati goes unbeaten, they would get into the playoff. They're ahead of Oklahoma right now. But I don't think this Cincinnati team would be ahead of Oklahoma by the committee if it was brought out today. And I don't even know if they'd be ahead of Ohio State. That's the problem. They would be down enough to be that they would need a few ticks up. But sometimes you get the – now, I'm not saying the committee is subject to this. I'll use an example. Remember when Martin Scorsese won the Academy Award for The Departed? Right? Won the Oscar for Best Director.
Yep.
Remember everybody was like, well, The Departed was good, but it's not his best work. He should have won it for these other things, but we're glad he's
finally
in.
He
finally got one, right? There was a feeling like, hey, Academy, you better give Martin Scorsese Best Director at some point, sometime in his life. How about that? Like Emmys, it's eventually, you got to give Susan Lucci an award, eventually, at some point. It may not be her best work, but eventually you got to give it to her. Leonardo DiCaprio, he better get an Oscar for something, right? Don't you think that the football committee could do the same thing with a team like Cincinnati? Where we've been knocking on the door going, hey, can you give one of these non-Power 5 conferences a chance in the playoff, please? And the committee goes, no, we're not. No, no, no. Take UCF, shove them off to the side. Let them win the national championship by some sort of poll that nobody has ever heard of before. But no. Don't you think eventually they're like, knock, 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 knock. And then finally the committee goes, all right. You may not be the best Power 5 conference team we've ever had, but you went undefeated. You're coming into the party. Now, right, look, if Cincinnati loses, they're done. But if they go undefeated, I wonder if the committee's like, okay, everybody, fine, we'll put them in. You've been screaming forever, we'll put them in. We should have did this a long time ago, but we never did. So sue us. And that might be the case here. So, like using those analogies, it may not be the best work, but it might fit the bill. But let me just make this clear, America. You get what you wish for, okay? If there are people who want this, let them have it. But when Alabama beats them 56-3, don't go screaming that an Ohio State would have been a better team there. Don't go screaming that an Oregon would have been a better team there or a one-loss Penn State team. You can't have it both ways. Either these teams deserve to be there or they don't. There's no Cinderella, underdog, better respect them sort of gift here. They either earned the top four seeding or they didn't. That's just the way it is. Let's don't make excuses when they lose. All right. We'll continue along, talk more about the NFL from week 4, some other games beside the big one last night in Foxborough as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along Sports Map Radio. We were talking earlier about Georgia's defense. If Georgia loses at some point to some team that they shouldn't, this will be one of the biggest letdowns. We're talking about a Georgia team that does this a lot in their history. Like Mark Richt, you used to happen to Mark Richt all the time.
Yeah, right now, would you be surprised if Georgia was jumped ahead of Alabama in the polls?
No, and I kind of was curious if they would. I kind of knew they wouldn't because Ole Miss was a good team, and Alabama really took care of Ole Miss and looked really good in the part. But I was wondering if there was any daring people out there that would have said, you know what? I love you, Alabama, but you've been number one too long. I'm going with this Georgia team that is just phenomenally good looking. I just think Georgia, I don't know. It's so like it stinks that you can't. If Alabama is winning games, they're going to be number one, right?
Yep.
But if you did what people say you should do, which is ignore everything until week four. Play week four and then rank them. I think Georgia would be number one if we did it that way.
I think so.
I think if we just said no preseason polls, no polls after week one, two, three, after week four we'll rank them. Then I think Georgia would be number one today.
And maybe,
but I think Alabama got the number one vote being the national champs from last year. They haven't lost, so they just continue to stay there.
And maybe you do get that when Georgia plays against Florida,
right?
And if Georgia handles Florida like they did to Arkansas.
Yeah.
How can you not? Like, you look, and then now you have a game that you can compare the two teams against.
Well, they got three ranked teams coming up. They got Auburn, Kentucky, and Florida. Now, I don't know who's going to be, I don't know if anybody's going to be ranked at the time they play them, but right now, I mean, these are on the bottom.
Florida
end,
won't be.
I don't think Florida will be. Oh, God, Florida was so disappointing. Really disappointing. I could really see the East shaping up to something interesting, but no.
No.
So, anyway, NFL week four, besides the Patriots, Buccaneers game last night.
Yeah, other games.
There were some other games that had some value. Justin Fields played in his second start, not as bad as the first one. They ended up winning that game against Detroit, 24-14. David Montgomery had two touchdowns.
Backfiring Ryan Nagy's plan.
That's right. That's right. So Dallas looked super good against the Panthers.
Yeah.
Yeah. This Dallas team has not played one bad game. You know, the game against the Buccaneers at the beginning of the season was still a very well-played game by them. Yeah, maybe the Rams were a couple of things that weren't quite right, but they Chargers, again, that weren't quite right, but they still pulled off the win. But 3-1, and that Carolina defense was pretty good, and they put 36 on them. And Ezekiel Elliott had 143 yards rushing, and Dak Prescott threw four touchdowns. Dallas looks really good. Really good.
Should we feel good about that?
About Dallas?
Yeah, or do we kind of like the chaos that is the NFC East?
I had more fun with the NFC East last year. Because remember we were like,
well, I remember at one point I put the whole NFC East in my bottom five.
Yeah.
I said the conference as a whole.
Remember we were like, there was that one game the Giants played last year where they beat Seattle, and we're like, okay, if you're going to do this, you could win the division.
Yeah.
You may not need Daniel Jones to be spectacular because you just need seven wins to pretty much claim that thing. Andy Reid returned to Philadelphia. The Chiefs won, beat the Eagles 42-30. That was a wild one. Patrick Mahomes, five touchdown passes.
Yeah,
that's
did he have any over Patrick Mahomes that we love. But the Patrick Mahomes, did he throw any of them over him?
That's what I want to go back to the tape. Yeah. I want to see all five of the Clyde Edwards and Alaire had a couple of touchdown, had 102 yards. Tyreek Hill had three touchdown catches. So. Seattle beat the 49ers. Trey Lance, now the quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo hurt again. At what point do you go Jimmy Garoppolo? Poor guy. He gets hurt a lot. Like, all the time.
Well, now it kind of makes sense why they drafted Trey Lance.
Yeah.
When you see that happening, it's like, I mean, this guy's turning into Mr. Glass.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. You know, when he's a starter, they play really well for him, but he just can't stay healthy enough. But Seattle won that game 28-21. The Ravens went to Denver and beat the Broncos to made everybody go, oh, here we go again with Denver. Look, Denver was running a tight rope, weren't they, in terms of respectability? They were 3-0 against three of the worst teams in the league, and people were still like, well, we'll see. And then here comes Baltimore, and they beat the Broncos pretty handedly, but a lot of people might have missed this at the end of the game. The Broncos had, the Ravens had the ball with no time left, right? And they were comfortably ahead, and they were going to win the game. And instead of kneeling out the final 3 seconds, they ran the ball. They had Lamar Jackson run the football. And Lamar Jackson picked up like 5 yards. Now, why did they do that? Because they did that because John Harbaugh is aware that his team is currently on a huge streak of 100-yard games on the ground. And at the time, he only had 97 as a team. So instead of taking a knee like any team would have, he decided, let Lamar Jackson run, pick up 3 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards. We get 100 yards rushing, and then we not only leave with the win, but our streak is intact. A streak, by the way, that is owned by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that was rather surprising, but he knew exactly what he was doing. The Broncos dropped to 3-1 and had everybody going, okay, we'll see now. And then the Ravens go to 3-1. The Packers beat the Steelers pretty easily, 27-17. And I say easily, that score, it's only 10 points, wasn't even that close. The Steelers got off to a 7-0 lead, and then the Packers led 17-10 at halftime. The Steelers could have led at halftime, except Joe Hayden was offsides, but he wasn't, on a blocked field goal that was returned for a touchdown. So the Steelers got 7 off the board, the Packers got 3 on the board, and then it was pretty much the Packers extending their lead, the Steelers frantically coming back but didn't have the firepower to do so. And I said this in hour number one. If you're a Steeler fan, and I am, but I'm doing this objectively here, I think that there is a feeling like you've not had in a very long time, which is the team stinks and there's nothing anyone can do about it. The defense is still very good. It'll keep them in games, but the team is not very good. Now, for a long time, the Steelers have been good, so a loss like this was almost not acceptable. Like, okay, it's okay to lose to Green Bay on the road, but you still should have won that game. This is not that team. This team shouldn't have won that game last night. They're not capable of beating a team like Green Bay. They're not capable of beating a team. I think the Bills win in week one was an anomaly. I don't think they're going to do that to any good team in the NFL going forward. But it's okay because the run was long and teams have to go through something like this. And should. They should go through something like this. You know, it's a long time. Whether it's Bill Cowher or Mike Tomlin, The Ben Roethlisberger era has been a time of winning records, playoff appearances, and even if this season is not bad, his season's not going that well, still pretty good records, still pretty good football team.
And listen, we've said it before, we'll say it again. I mean, I just imagine what the Steelers would have accomplished, say, if you know, didn't have to run into Brady or Manning every single season.
Sure.
You know, I know we can say that with a bunch of different teams, but it is something different where, you know, when you look at, what was it, like 16 years worth of AFC championships? And it was just always those three, except for that 1 year with Joe Flacco?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's funny about that is we were talking about this earlier, how the Packers and the Steelers hadn't played since the Super Bowl of Super Bowl 45, 2010, 2011. And neither team had gone to the Super Bowl since. In the AFC, it's almost excusable, right? You could go, well, it is either a Manning Broncos team Brady-led Patriots team,
yeah,
with Joe Flacco in the mix there. That's almost okay. That's going to be hard to do. There is really no excuse for Green Bay.
No,
I mean, Seattle twice, San Francisco twice, the Giants once, the Rams, the Falcons, the Eagles. Like in that decade, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers should have gone to more Super Bowls.
Now, granted, they were robbed of one or
sure,
you know, but still, I mean, you know, you look at, I mean, the AFC side, yeah. I mean, now you can even add Mahomes to the list.
Right. Now you're adding Mahomes to the list, right.
It was like, you know, now you just got to run into that juggernaut every single time.
So to me, this is how I as both a fan and an objective sports talk show, the two wearing the two hats for the Steelers, which is just let the season ride out and then have the team build. Look, when Jordan Love got drafted by the Packers, right? Everybody made a big deal about it because you don't want to signal to your starter that the end is coming, right? That father time is coming. You're supposed to build a team with him as your center, and then build and give him pieces that he needs to win championships today and tomorrow. The Steelers didn't do that with Roethlisberger. They never once looked at the draft, you know, and said, well, we could use a running back, but which quarterback can we get today that replaces Ben Roethlisberger tomorrow? Mason Rudolph wasn't the answer, and most people know that. And so they don't. They never went and got that guy in the first round. They never went and got that guy that's going to be the franchise quarterback after Ben Roethlisberger. Now they need one, so they go get one and figure it out. Go, but this season is... it's not lost. I know people are like, it's early, but that team is not good. And do you think Ben Roethlisberger is all of a sudden going to be able to throw downfield in week 9? In week 11?
He can't do it now.
His arm is going to fall off by week 10. All right? He's putting up 50 throws a game, for crying out loud. Like, he's done now. He's not going to get better. Like, unless he's drinking some Fountain of Youth potion, he's not going to get healthier. Right, if anything, he's just going to manage his limitations as best he possibly can. So that's the problem, and it's okay. As a fan, I'll take it. But as an objective guy, you also know teams go through this a lot. So, and again, the Bills, we talked about them earlier. They shut out the Texans. That was a terrible game. Boy, was Texans were bad. I mean, the Texans got like 100 yards. That's it? Something along those lines?
Yeah. I think
like 108 total, or something?
Total, yeah. They were, I think I saw the stat, there was 2 yards per offensive play.
Ugh. That was, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. They turned the ball over 5 times. They had 109 yards of total offense. That's just pathetic. And then 6 first downs. Oy.
6.
And you know what stinks? And look, 19-0 going into the fourth quarter is still, you still got to put the foot on the gas. The Bills scored 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter just to make sure they were leaving this one comfortably.
Unless you had a doubt in your mind.
Yeah. Oh, too bad, Texans.
That's the Texans we all thought was going to happen. I mean,
right.
That first win of the season almost seems like an anomaly now.
I think if you put this
current Texans team against the current Jacksonville team, I think it's a different outcome.
And playing well against like the Browns in week 2, where they're like, yeah, they played pretty well.
This team looks kind of good. Now we're starting to see like, you know what it was? A lot of these teams didn't really take preseason seriously.
Right, right. And Davis Mills is, you know, he's not that good.
No, he's not.
I'm sorry. He's not that good. All right. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this hour. Get you ready for hour 3. Levin Reed will join us from Boston. We'll talk about what the Patriots' angle to last night's game was, because Mac Jones did look good and all the emotions of last night in Foxborough as we continue on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Real quick, last night. I'm sorry. The Steelers game. I put this out on Twitter yesterday. And it was something Tony Romo said that drove me nuts. This hour of Wake Up Call, by the way, is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can. Okay, I understand being an analyst is a tough job. You know, you're coming up with all these different angles, and you want to keep the excitement of the game. But yesterday in the Packers-Steelers game, the one thing that drives me crazy, and I hear guys say this all the time, Collinsworth will use this occasionally. Romo tends to use this a lot. It's, you know, Aikman, you know, it's like a kind of a go-to. When a team is struggling and you're questioning them a little bit, like the Steelers had a touchdown and then they weren't playing really well, Romo just comes out and goes, well, you know, Jim, Mike Tomlin, he's going to have this team ready to play. It's, you know what that is? That's just saying something to be nice. It's an irrelevant statement. It doesn't mean anything. Teams win when they're ill-prepared. Teams lose when they're very prepared. It doesn't matter. And Tomlin is not some magical wizard that is going to be able to get the Steelers healthy enough, or, you know, their quarterback ability enough to do the things that they want him to do. That doesn't matter. Like, yes, guys are motivated to play for a lot of reasons. Getting a team ready to play is irrelevant. It does not matter. It doesn't matter. It's not a point to consider whether a team is going to win or lose. I've seen teams do their homework like you would not believe and just in the end just can't beat the team they're playing against. And I've seen teams be lazy and somehow emerge victorious. That's the way this league is, right? It's a matchup here or there. If the ball bounces your way, you can have all the motivation and desire in the world, but it doesn't mean anything. I think we do live in, sometimes in sports, we do live in a Disney-fied, Hollywood-esque thing where we think like hard work will just triumph over everything. I've seen people work really, really hard in sports and fail. I've seen people not work at all and it comes easy to them. It's an unfair world. That's just the way. Tim Tebow is a perfect example of that. If I heard it once, I heard it a zillion times on his quest to be in an NFL on a roster. And people would say, nobody works harder. Nobody works harder. And I used to tell people all the time, it's not about that. It really isn't. And I'm so sorry, because I know we teach our sons and daughters this, but it's not true. It's not true at the highest level. He can work as hard as he wants, but he needs talent. If he doesn't have it, he's not going to gain it. And if he can't do it, he's not going to be able to do it. It's same with preparation. Yes, being prepared is important. Yes, being motivated is important. But you can have both and lose. You cannot have either one and win. It's just a way of saying a nice thing about a team that's struggling so you don't bury them and get people to click off the broadcast. That's the real reason they say that.